And greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson with Urban Buzz Magazine, and I have Mr. Nat Robinson on the line from First Priority Music. And if you don't know, we're getting ready to educate you. He's a legend, a Black-owned record label launched back in the 80s with some phenomenal artists, but I'm going to let him fill you in with the rest. Mr. Nat Robinson, welcome to UrbanBuzzMag.com. Let the people know what's going on.
Thank you, Nigeria, and hey, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah. Let us know how you're relaunching First Priority Music. Take us back a little bit, then bring us forward.
Okie doke. I'll start actually just a step before we actually got into the music business.
Okay, cool.
I actually was an IBM engineer for years, and I got tired of that, and I transitioned into the club business.
Oh.
I had number one club in New York called Tribeca. It's where I met a lot of the music people.
Mm-hmm.
I met Russell there, Sylvia Roan there, Curtis Blow. It was that kind of a spot. It was a Black club mm-hmm. in New York. In Tribeca. From there, once that era played itself out, Milk, who was one of my sons,
He
actually wanted to become a rapper. I sent him to Russell and I sent him to all the people I knew from the club business, but nothing materialized.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually he said, "Why don't you start a label?" I said, "Come on, I know nothing about this." He said, "I know, you'll learn." I said, "You know, let me try." I bought a book about music. It's called This Business Music.
Mm-hmm.
I read it about five times. Still didn't understand everything in it, but enough to get started. So we got started. Milk had a small studio. He is working on a song called Top Billing, which right now is responsible for 285 samples.
Wow.
It's the most sampled hip-hop record ever. From Jay-Z and Kanye, Otis, Real Love was the first one, Mary J. Blige, 50 Cent, I Get Money,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Dre,
yeah.
Might have to beat this, but Bitch Nigga. And on and on and on.
Right.
Fergie just used it a few months ago. Usher has used it, but on and on.
Right.
So he started working on that in a basement studio
mm-hmm.
in Staten Island. And he got, you know, he really did a good job. He got Daddy-O from Stetsasonic. He came in and worked with him on it.
Okay.
And the rest, it turned out to be a major, major hit.
Yes, sir.
And then he started on Light, on MC Light. The first song was Cram to Understand It. So we were independent, and we were building out territory by picking up states.
Mm.
So we had the tri-state area, and then we, from there, we went to Richmond, Virginia. We picked that up, El Bravador, K-Day. You're too young to know K-Day, but it was the first hip-hop radio station in America that played 24 hours
okay.
in Los Angeles. So we got K-Day. Of course, about K-Day. Everybody that was hip-hop was on K-Day.
Right.
Texas. And we started making a little nationwide noise. A guy named Larry Yaster came to me from Atlantic Records and offered us a global distribution deal. He took me into Sylvia, which I met before, but was not, you know, I just knew who she was.
Right.
And she said, "I have not signed an act yet, and I want to sign this act." So it was her first signing in her position in Atlantic. Honestly, she took us around the world. She blew it up. We caught the national attention in America, and we just, you know, it was like a blanket all around the world. So
right.
Milk, that song, Top Billing, blew up. Lights, Cram to Understand mm-hmm. You. And we started building from there, and we started building the label. We signed Positive K,
mm-hmm.
The Alliance. Missy Me is the first artist. He's from Toronto, first Canadian artist to ever be signed to a major label in the U.S. So that's how we built it. But it wasn't as easy as I just...
I'm sure. And people know. You got to know. It's not like overnight.
Yeah, no, not overnight. It was a hustle. It was hard. It was a lot of doors slammed in your face. And, you know, because hip-hop was just in its infant stages. The only radio we had to go to in New York was the mix shows, the Red Alerts and the
right.
Marvin Halls and the Hank Loves and, you know, Chuck Chill Out. So we had no main radio play or daytime play at all.
Right, that took a minute.
Yeah, it took a minute. The only place we really got played, you know, within 24 hours was K-Day Los Angeles. So it was a hustle. It was a hustle to get through the hip-hop.
Right.
But the thing is, it was so much energy, so much fun. It didn't feel like
work.
A hustle. It didn't
mm-hmm.
feel like a job. It just felt like something you were supposed to do. This is what we're supposed to do.
Right.
And that's how we hustled it. I'll tell you something funny. There was a place called Latin Quarters in New York.
Of course.
We all played there. Everybody played there, from KRS-One, Light, Milk, you know. Just everybody was there. That's a Sonic.
Right.
Even Run DMC. And it was $500 a show.
Okay.
So you go there, do something, $500. You go to New Jersey, $500. You do that two nights. You made $2,000
right.
a weekend, which was nice in those days.
Back in the 80s, of course. Milk had,
oh, no, it's totally different. Milk had an artist named Eamon that he produced. And Eamon's first show he ever had in his career, $25,000. Milk said, can you believe this music get paid $500 a show? This kid, his first show is $25,000.
Wow.
It just tells you how the business has grown.
Right.
It was fun. You got to know everybody. You know, mm-hmm. you toured with Naughty and Ice Cube and Ice-T. And the East Coast started getting to know the West Coast. It was cool.
It was a fun time. It was a fun time for black artists and black people. It was the revolution. Like, by the 90s, we had the whole black music movement, where labels was having black music departments, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And believe it or not, that's still going on. That struggle is still going on today. You still have the black department, and we'll call it what they call it, and we have the pop department.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Mm-hmm.
Still a big separation between the departments. Even in publishing today, I'm a big publishing person, publishing.
Okay.
Even in publishing, in their formula, you get, I won't go through the whole formula, but it's a x8 for hip-hop artists. And if you're a pop artist, it's a x10.
Wow.
So we still don't get the equal money yet.
Right.
But the kids are very smart today. They're creating their own publishing companies and not going into the major publishers anymore. And they're being independent publishers, independent labels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, streaming now has changed the game. Streaming platforms of film, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, is changing the game.
When you say it's changing the game, what do you mean?
It means now you'll find kids that, I don't know, I can't remember the young lady's name, but she made a 15-minute album. Mm. So the songs were like 1.5 minutes each. She could have never taken that to a label and they would have accepted it.
Right.
But you can take your art and you can actually put it on the streaming platform. And these kids are creating these massive underground followers.
Right.
So you'll see these kids out doing shows and there's 10,000-15,000 people there and you don't even know who they are.
Exactly. Exactly. That is true. That is true.
Yes. And I'm finding more so of so many of the African-American kids are doing their own thing. They're mm-hmm. building their own empires.
Right.
There's one young lady that had some songs out or still has them, and I won't get into her business, so I'm going to just not mention her name.
Right.
She was getting $25,000 a show.
Mm.
She was getting, you know, she was doing like 2 shows a weekend. She was making $200,000 a month.
Wow.
All her underground streaming stuff. She didn't have a label. And then she was offered a deal with a major, almost $3 million, $2.8 million.
Okay.
She turned it down.
Right, because they're gonna want too much of it.
Right. Well, they're gonna want your creativity. They're mm-hmm. gonna want your soul.
They're gonna want your soul blood, your left hand, your foot.
Yeah, you know. You know. So yeah. Hey, I understand that because you want to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
Want to step out of the norm and do things that haven't been done before. And that's what's so amazing about streaming today. You totally have your freedom. And these kids love to stay in the underground. But I've seen all types of artists, you know, white artists
mm-hmm.
go out and have 20,000-30,000 people in a concert.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't even know who they are. Or who are these people?
Right, but that's what this whole digital platform has created, and I think it's a godsend. I think that when you're able to do what you want to do and have that kind of freedom, it makes you like, you know what, I can survive. But let's not be mistaken, it takes a lot of work.
Everything is social media, you know, your IG, your Facebook, you know, whatever. Everything is done through social media now, digital marketing.
Right,
digital and these marketing. Kids... What makes it so amazing, most of these kids have gone to college and they've studied digital mm-hmm. marketing. So they're just doing what they learned in school.
Right. That's good.
So mm-hmm. they walk out of school and they jump right into the digital marketing because that's what they were taught.
Mm.
I'm so proud of these kids, what they're able to do. They're rocking it.
Right.
I mean, they're really rocking it. You can go on to their platforms and some of them have 22 million followers, real followers.
Right. Let's say that. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. You know, not the bought ones. Not the one they purchased.
Well, I have a team of people. So what they do, we're talking about someone, they will go into your social media and you can look at the people that are there. And when you see, you know, when you see somebody that, you know, they have two views and they've sent one thing out, you know, it's not real, you know?
Right.
So if you see a lot of that, you know, there's a lot of bought stuff in there, you know?
Right. But one thing I do know, no matter how many followers people may have, could look at someone who may have a million followers and their stuff is okay, and look at someone who doesn't have a million followers and their stuff is just hot. So it's kind of like you just got to make a conscious judgment of, you know, what's going on.
Well, you know what? You hit the nail right on the head, because our platform now has changed. Mm-hmm. We're not looking for people with metrics anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for people with talent.
Right.
And with that talent, we're going to develop them, and we will develop their matrix at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
See, the big record companies are looking, oh, this person has 22 million, let's go sign them.
Right.
You know, we're not interested in that. I would go get a person that has 5,000 if they're really an artist.
Right.
You know, you can listen to a person. This person is an artist. They're great. Their music is good. But they don't have the metrics. So the majors won't even touch them.
Right.
But, and I'll tell you a few people that are doing a similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
L.A. Reid with Hitco, Barry Weiss with Records. These guys are doing the same thing. They're starting to A&R again. Let's A&R and see where's the talent at.
Right.
And let's see the talent. Let's sign the talent if they want to be signed. And let's develop them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of trying to go back, I hate to say old school, but it's old school because, you know, I see it working already and I know it's going to work.
Right.
Because, you know, metrics is fantastic. Metrics doesn't mean you're a star.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. Especially if you know how to manipulate the digital system.
Exactly. Now, that's the key word right there. People can manipulate the system, and that you're right about that.
Right. You know.
Yeah.
So you look good in the metrics, but you may not have the talent.
Exactly. You know, people are just on there and they are awesome. They don't have, like you said, the marketing skills that you were mentioning about some of the kids who learned it in school. Sometimes they're just on there because that's what they love to do and that's their platform. So they would need someone like you with the, you know, what you got, 30 years plus experience to really shape them. Like you said, go back to A&R, going back to helping them and not be the shark that people are familiar with, that they're scared to sign the labels because they don't want to give their blood, their left eye, foot, DNA.
Yeah.
To just be signed, to let their creative juices go and just, you know, make good music and put out a good product, which we desperately need, you know. And there are artists out there that's killing it and we need them.
Right.
So, Nat, please get them.
Right.
You know, get them.
Yeah. And I love your energy because you're right on point. And what's happening with these young people and these artists, first of all, what we have to realize, artists are artists.
Right.
They're not normal, everyday people. They're extreme.
That's right.
Their art is their lifeline.
Exactly.
And you go into the labels and they tell you to change your style, your music, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do it, they'll shelf you.
Right.
And being shelved means they're not doing anything for you. And you're still locked into a contract.
Right.
So you're sitting around for 3, 4, 5 years. Can you imagine an artist that cannot implement their art, sitting around and they got a record deal but nothing's happening?
Yeah.
And they can't move on? That must break their heart.
Right. And they ain't got no money.
And no money. They'll get that first one and they'll say, and if you don't cooperate with the labels and what they say, I mean, I'm sure there's always labels out there are understanding. But there are also some that says, no, I don't agree with you. Well, why did you sign me? This is what I did.
Right.
You sign, now you tell me I got to do something different.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Yeah. But I'm excited about what you're doing in the movement. And you was talking about a film that you're working on. Talk about that a little bit and the connection with music, because a lot of the music shows now have associations with labels, The Voice, and
the Wu-Tang?
Empire, right, Wu-Tang, Empire, they just selling records. I mean, it's a TV show, but literally their promotion is just selling records.
Unbelievable. And so what happens on the film side, we're doing a period piece.
Okay.
The movie's called Top Villain. And we start, well, we don't start with my history. It just says Nat Robertson quits his job at IBM and goes into the club business. Couldn't handle it anymore. I couldn't do the daily day-to-day thing anymore.
Right.
So we went into the club business, as I said earlier, and it just set us up to know people in the music business and to know artists. And then from there, we opened the label. So we go back to that label struggle of all the things that we did. But one thing I have to say, we all helped each other in those days.
Right.
Everybody helped each other. I was buying records for $1 a piece, and we were using them as marketing and promotional items, sending them to record pools and giving them away.
Right.
And then Luke Skywalker in Florida says, "Nat, I can get you those records for 40 cents a piece in Florida." Really?
Okay.
Yes. And he did it.
Wow.
I was saving 60 cents on a record. You know, people looked out for each other
right.
in those days.
Yes, yes, you're right.
You know, yeah, Fred Mineo, Corey Robbins, you know, everybody, it was a struggle. It was a struggle to make hip-hop win. Black and white, the white
right.
guys, black guys, everybody was out there to make the hip-hop thing work. But realize, in those days, the only people that were really making money was Run DMC. I know we had the Sugar Hill Gang and the other guys coming before, but they wasn't making the kind of money running them.
Right, right.
They were really the premier hip-hopers that really made the real money and said, you know, this can really be done. We can
right.
make this work.
Right.
Look at Run and DMC. And that's what makes this whole thing so beautiful. So the movie takes us through that. We go through the problems I had in the club business, running a black club and bringing it to a number one club in New York. And it was number one for a year. It was in Tribeca. Then we moved on to the actual record business. So we take it like that, and then we start talking about we get into the production and basement studio. We completely made an album called Basement Flavor.
Okay.
Because the whole album was built in the basement. And we got to those points. So that's part one. It's going to be two parts.
Okay.
Now, the second part, Light is writing a lot more stuff that she wants to put into it, which is fabulous, and I haven't seen it yet, and I don't know what it is yet.
Oh,
either.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Okay, good.
She likes kind of a first on everything. First, not female rapper, first rapper to perform in Carnegie Hall.
Wow.
She did so many firsts. The first female rapper to have a gold record.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy Riley did a gold record for us, and it was called Roughneck.
That's
yeah.
my favorite.
And Teddy did it. Jermaine Dupri did Keep On Keeping On, which was platinum. Puffy did a platinum record for us.
Now I know
Jimmy
you
Dammit,
old.
Terry Lewis.
Now I know you old calling Diddy Puffy.
Oh, yeah. That's old school.
Right. I know you old.
Yeah, I expose myself. I still call him that. you pulled my whole card. Oh. Every time I see if that's what I say, you know.
Yeah, true story. But that's love.
Yeah, right. So the movie will take us through what's going on right now. It will be totally a period piece. So we'll have the music in it. I met the guys from the Central Park Five. Down here in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of Premium Pete?
No.
Pete had them up on the podcast.
Okay.
And when they made the movie, they were doing a period piece. And in the beginning, they had Paper Thin in it from Light and the hair Top Billing from Milk. But it didn't make the run. We were like, oh, we wanted to be in that period piece. But
right.
It's okay because we get that stuff. We really have right now, we have Top Billing in The Hustler, the one that Jennifer Lopez is in. Just getting off topic a little bit, the kids all know how to make money in this new world. This is phenomenal in the normal game. We must get about, I'd say, 2 to 4 sync licenses a month, meaning
wow.
we're putting our music in films and television shows.
Right.
So not only are we most sampled. I won't say we're the most sync comp company, but we have a lot of sync in a lot of movies and a lot of films. So everybody learns how to manipulate publishing, how to manipulate sync that publishing into sync licenses. Mm-hmm. And one day I would love to tour and go to colleges and talk to the kids because there's so many things they miss. There might be a point your sound is over. You shouldn't be over because that era is over.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And you should be able to carry your art right through your entire life.
Mm.
We have legacy now. Everything is legacy. Our legacy labels. Our label will be a legacy with new artists.
Right.
Everything's legacy labels now. I'll tell you something really funny. There's a lot of guys in London, a lot of white guys that really love hip hop.
Yes, I know.
They collect every record I have, the first party ever made. So I'm with a guy I know from London. He was in New York. We went and had lunch, me and Milk, a couple other people. And he wanted one record he could never get. I said, oh, we have that. No, we have a few boxes left. A vinyl.
Right.
So I bring him the record. He says, Nat, I was trying to get this record. He already told me before. He didn't know I had the record.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I've been to auctions in London, and every time I was always outbidded. I said, well, what's outbidded? He said, $200 for one vinyl.
Wow.
I said, oh, okay. So I reached down, get the bag up, and I hand him the record. He said, oh, my God, you just made my day. It was like he put his hands on gold. These are old.
Yeah.
Older records. These are legacy records.
Right.
He said, this is the only record I do not have in my collection. And thank you. Now I have my full first priority collection.
Wow.
Every record.
Wow.
And I'm sure it's not only first priority. I'm sure it's all the other labels that wherever you were in the Bronx and labels and stuff, the people that you love.
Right.
The legacy business is so amazing. You can go, Milk tells me, he can do a show. I don't really go to too many shows.
Uh-huh.
And he said, what made him feel so good, he was on the stage. He doesn't have to do anything. He just says, Milk is chilling.
Yeah, and that's everybody it. Else.
Audience carries it from there. Right?
Yeah.
And he said he looked out in the audience. He said, wow, I'm looking at guys out there that are 40 plus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he said, then I'm looking at them, and they got their son or their daughter with them. So hip-hop has already given us two generations.
Right. That's good.
We got two generations. I'm talking about the old school now, the legacy stuff, mm-hmm. not even the new stuff.
Right.
Giving us. And if you look around and you remember the Grateful Dead, my accountant, he's Caucasian.
Uh-huh.
He's a deadhead. He went to their final show, his father, him, and his son.
Wow.
They all went. Three generations.
Right.
Now, look how hip-hop is right behind that. That's already right. In two generations. Dad and son is going out to shows together.
Yeah, you're right about that. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So, yes, legacy rappers, you still have a value.
Right.
You can go out and do shows. We've just been offered a reunion tour. It has nothing to do with me. These promoters want to put together an FTM tour.
Right.
A reunion tour. Mm-hmm. And they asked for the artists. I spoke to all the artists from Positive, Light, everybody,
mm-hmm.
Alliance. And the ones they asked for, and we're trying to put that together, and they're going to take that tour out.
Nice.
So, I think a lot of people get disconnected from their art, and they don't know how to really get back in the game.
You're right. You mentioned something earlier, like Wu-Tang reinvented themselves. They got the documentary out. They had a special out mm-hmm. using their music, mm-hmm. telling their story.
Yeah.
You have Nas still putting out music, teaching
right.
music, doing stuff.
Put it like this. They're not getting paid like the new kids.
Right.
They're not getting paid like Lil Wayne was making, $150,000 a show.
Right.
No, they're not making money like that. But they're making money in the parts of like $20,000 a show.
Right.
$15,000.
Right.
That because they're older, they're smarter.
Right. Right.
So if they go out, you go out on the weekend and you get two $20,000 shows. I don't think you're gonna do what you did when you were 17, 18 years old.
Exactly.
You're going to go pay your mortgage, pay your house off, that kind of stuff.
Right. True story.
Well, yes, but they have a good living livelihood if that's what they want.
Right.
They can still go out and say, I'm going to do a Saturday and a Sunday. I made $40,000 or made $30,000. I'm not going to work all month. I'm going to do that 2 weekends out of the month.
Right.
You just put together $60,000 out of the month.
Right. Brilliant.
That's
brilliant.
A year's salary.
That's right. That's right. It breaks down to, like you said, you know, someone working all year for that same amount.
Exactly. So the legacy life is beautiful, too. And as you they become older and they have their audience.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. I could talk about this all day, so you can shut me down.
No.
Joe and Atlanta. Mm-hmm. New Kids on the Block, Salt and Pepper, and Naughty by Nature. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Coco Chanel was DJing. Coco Chanel was signed to me also with a group called Kings of Swing.
Mm-hmm.
So I go down to the show where Coco's at. I walk to the place, and I look around in the audience. You know, New Kids on the Block was before us.
Right.
Okay? I'm expecting to see these 40, 50 plus in the audience. There was nothing but kids in the audience.
Wow.
60, I can't even explain what happened. I looked around. I said, but there's nothing but kids. 18, 17 years. What is going on? I don't understand. This is not their audience.
Right.
But it was full with kids. So they did something right.
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah. You better get that marketing and promotion game tight.
That's,
you know.
That's what I think they did. They did it to the kids. They reached out for the demographic, a very young demographic for the concert. And the concert sold out. They did 59 shows.
What?
59 dates.
Wow.
they were doing 54, and then they added 5 more. That's wow. A Live Nation thing.
Right.
And Vinny hypes up the audience. Fred
yeah,
is there.
Yeah.
AG is there. I actually went and hung out with them a little bit in the dressing room. Cool. I didn't see Salt. I left before Salt and Pepper got there.
Okay.
But think about it. It's not dead. People think things are dying, and they're not really dying.
I'm so glad you said that.
They're morphing. They're morphing. Mm. They're becoming something different.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. Morphing. That's hot.
Yeah.
That's hot.
That's, you know, so that's where it is.
What made you come back?
Well, I have a young man named Jonathan Michael. He's one of my partners.
Mm-hmm.
He pushed me. He's so into what's happening now and what the legacy is.
Oh, okay.
And he said, come on, that. You got it. He stayed on me. I've done things with him for 3 years, and finally, he got me.
Okay.
He said, you got to do this.
Right.
I said, you know what? You're right. He said, you owe it to the hip-hop world. No, he used everything he was to convince me. Like, oh, it almost had me crying. You know, oh, man, I'm screwing up.
No, but we need it because, like you mentioned, it's not dying. It's morphing. And people were so, you know, social media, people so angry. All these new hip-hop heads, they don't know nothing. And I think it's...
And they're doing the mumble. They're doing mumble rap. Oh, the mumble rap. I hate it. But didn't they say they hated us?
Right.
When we came out.
Exactly. I was just getting ready to say, every generation has their groove. And so just because, you know, we know everything changes in 10 years, we're getting ready to enter into 2020.
Right.
So the last 10 years has been the challenge of everyone trying to figure out, you know, their lane. So now I believe everybody done found their lane, and we're getting ready to see something super in 2020. I mean.
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, the thing with Tyler Perry opening up a studio bigger than Hollywood. I mean, people.
A military thing. He bought a military.
Yeah. People are jumping out like, yo, we're going to win. We're going to do this. We're taking it back. And I think now the playing field is even. And if you have talent, skills, and abilities, and the commitment to work, which can't be lazy, to really polish your material, you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to win.
You're going to win. And you know what else helps us win? Because digital world actually created a global community.
Right.
So we're not depending on just the U.S. alone in the beginning.
Exactly.
We are getting gold records from Zimbabwe. We're getting gold records from Australia. You know.
Yo, Matt.
We're getting audiences all around the world. So what does that do for us?
Right.
It makes the world aware of our art.
Right.
And now we have the world to go to and perform. We go to Japan. We go to China.
Yes.
We're in Africa performing. We're in Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Mumbai. Name it.
Right.
The artists are there doing shows.
That's true.
That puts us on a different level totally.
Right. Nat, thank you for being on UrbanBuzzMag.com. Let us know your website.
I enjoyed it.
What's your website?
The website is FirstPriorityMusic.com.
All right. Thank you.
And the IG is at First Friday Music.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
I enjoyed it. Okay. Bye-bye.
Later.